If you're not invested in crypto yet, you better get invested. The future of money is coming, and you don't want to be like a neophyte boomer when it comes to money. It's no accident that every leader in the Red Pill Consortium is into this. This is the chance for all guys to level up in life and reach the coveted goal of financial freedom. But where do you go? You've heard there are scams out there all over the place and that some exchanges have been hacked. Where is the safest place for your hard-earned money? Crypto.com is the perfect place for new investors. Another reason many guys are still laggards when it comes to crypto is because they don't know where to buy it, or if they did, they wouldn't know how to place an order. But Crypto.com has the easiest interface to use and the most simplified trading platform in the industry. And while you're holding your crypto for the long term, you can even earn interest on it and make compounding magic go to work for you sooner, because Crypto.com allows you to stake your coins to earn interest on them. And we're talking of some of the best interest rates in the world, like 10% on Polkadot, 4.5% on Bitcoin, 5.5% on Ethereum, and 6% on the platform's native coin. You think you'll get anything like that in bonds or a savings account? You're out of your mind. Open an account today at reinventideal.com/crypto. That's reinventideal.com/crypto. Reinvent Ideal is on. Today, the Flagrant 2 are racist. We're going to show you beyond the shadow of a doubt exactly what their little agenda is, which speaks to a larger point about how guys are just so easy and quick to turn on each other. Warning, you are about to cross a no-bull barrier. Reinvent Ideal starts now.
You're listening to Reinvent Ideal, dating and life advice for men.
So you're struggling though, you need some help?
The wisdom you need when you're depressed and no one cares because you're not a chick.
Well, we're all enjoying our day. We're gonna lose 12 men to suicide today.
Your weekly red pill prescription.
It's a place for unguarded conversations to investigate with a council of men the riddles of life.
With Cairo Copeland.
The Flagrant 2 should change their name to the Racist 2. And here's why. You may have seen a while back when they had Fresh and Fit on their program, and they constantly gave them a hard time. They were giving Myron a hard time, they were giving Fresh a hard time, all because they said something on their program about them not wanting to date black chicks, and what they mean is not the rank and file black chick, but the really nasty, bitter, highly masculinized ghetto man-haters. Those are the ones they were talking about. But the Flagrant 2 were kept trying to say, oh, you guys must be racist, just admit you're racist. So they keep going after Myron and Fresh on that. But here's what's interesting now. Now that Joe Rogan is in hot water for saying the N-word, the Racist 2, Andrew and Akash, have given him a complete free pass. Do you see what I see? Myron and Fresh are black, and they get attacked, called racist, called terrible people. Joe Rogan is white, he says the N-word, and then Andrew and Akash, the Racist 2, come to his defense. That shows their true colors. Now, here's the thing. Do I really think that? No, I don't really think that the Flagrant 2 are racist. I think they're two of the biggest idiots on planet Earth and clear blue pill simps. But I don't think they're racist. What I'm doing here is, I'm doing what the mainstream media does to people that they don't like, and I'm doing what Andrew and Akash do to people they don't like, taking something completely out of context and twisting it in the worst way possible to score political points against people that I don't like. That is the name of the game that these two idiots played. And I tell you what, guys, if you want to see the most clear contrast between reinvented men and then blue-pilled idiot men, watch the interview between the Flagrant 2 and Fresh and Fit. It will give you the most clear contrast of New Order intelligence displayed in Myron and Fresh, and then Old World stupidity displayed in Andrew and Akash. I could barely make it through that interview there, because you just see these imbeciles saying stuff like, oh, I know a guy that gets this, I know a guy that gets that, so that disproves your point. Shut up. You don't know shit about shit. You've only been with one woman your entire life. That's your entire frame of reference for it. You don't know a damn thing. Now, why do I bring this up here? There's a larger point that I wanted to talk to you guys about today here. About how guys are just so easy to turn on each other. They're so easy to stab one another in the back, or to step on you on their way up, even step on you on their way down. And the most disgusting thing ever is when they're attacking another guy in hopes that it gets them in good cahoots with a particular woman. And this is typically what happens with Fresh and Fit, because, you know, they're just viewed as these misogynists and all these feminist circles. So some weak-minded pussy of a guy is going to be like, oh, well, I'm not like them, so I'm going to go attack them. And that way, I'll get the attention of all these feminists, and maybe I'll get laid by them. Yeah, good. Even if you won that, good luck. All right. Even if you won their attention, I don't think it's attention you really want, because if you've seen how ugly some of these bitches are, there's no way you'd want to take them to bed. But this is the larger point that we got to talk about today, is that the blue pill pits men against each other. The blue pill is turning guys into backstabbers, easy to cut each other's throat at the first chance they get, thinking that they're going to benefit from it. The blue pill tells you that you'll benefit from it. How did men become so isolated? Look at how difficult it is today for a 30-year-old guy to make male friends. I honestly think that is more difficult than it is for an 18-year-old guy to find a girlfriend. You see, growing up, it wasn't always like this. The boys would play with other boys while girls played with other girls. And it's just a natural occurrence out of shared interests, because the boys didn't want to play with the dolls, and the girls weren't interested in dinosaurs and trucks. And since this socialization starts at an early age, you'd think it would continue as we get older. But it doesn't. Or at least not for men. These women seem to have no trouble at all making friends with other women. It seems like every woman on earth has her own social support group, and you notice this every time a woman goes out in public, she's hardly ever alone. Or when she goes to the bathroom, she has a support group for her with that too. And I tell you what, even women that are total strangers to each other are able to talk about anything like best friends. They even have their own subtle forms of communication, like when a woman is on a date with a guy she turned out to not like, she can look at the waitress with those help me eyes, and the waitress does something to distract the guy while the woman escapes. It's the whole sisterhood alliance. And deep down, every woman is her sister's keeper. But we don't really have that as guys, where we are each other's keeper, we're my brother's keeper. We really don't have that. But these additional levels of safety that women have helped usher in the female primary pecking order of today's society. And this order comes at the expense of men's comfort, men's happiness. Some say it's social justice. Namely, the social justice warriors, because in past history, the social order was male primary. But those days are long gone. It's more likely that society has overcorrected itself in the manner of equalizing the statuses of the sexes, because males often get made to feel unwelcomed in social gatherings, public and private. Or you go to any of these clubs, I can say this here from my experience that I've seen, is that many clubs charge twice as much, if not more, for single guys to come in. Or these adult parties that I've attended, I've seen it where a single girl pays like $15 to get in, a couple pays $40 to get in, but a single male, he pays $200 to get in. And even that, they cap the admission of single males to just no more than 10. No more than 10 single males can come in. So the message is clear, is that if you're a guy, you better have a woman with you to vouch for you. Otherwise, the world really doesn't want you. And worse yet, it's not a female conspiracy acting in the shadows to make guys feel so unwelcome. That's what a lot of these MGTOW doomers are thinking, is that, oh, it's all the women behind the scenes in this little conspiratorial cabal planning all this out. No, it's actually other guys that are doing this to each other. Just like how in the mating and dating market, a man's greatest foe isn't the woman that will fleece him for free attention. His greatest foe is other guys. Because other guys give out free attention and validation so easily to women, like foolish idiot simps. The single women then expect to be treated like queens by all men as a result. Because Andrew and Akash from The Flagrant 2 tell him, "Oh girl, you're such a queen. You're so beautiful. I'm so lucky to be in your presence." I guarantee you that's how they interact with their wives. And then other girls see that, and they expect that kind of treatment from all men all over. And the problem originates from the competitive nature of males, well, in the mating and dating market. Because we see each other as competitors. And the result is that we're going to turn against each other over women. And this is true not just with the dating world, but in many aspects of our lives. While the women of the world seem to march together all in unison, the men seem to spar against each other more often. There is a worldwide sisterhood alliance, but no brotherhood. So why can't guys have a similar bond? What is it that's caused us to become isolated from one another? And I'll tell you what it is. It's the cultural conditioning of the blue pill. It's done yet another disservice to men by encouraging them to disconnect from each other. Back when I first started my coaching practice, I was always asking guys, how many male friends do you have? Many of them reported having no friends, no male friends. And some of the reasons they'd tell me, some of the things they'd say were things like, "Well, I'm just not comfortable with other guys. I don't relate to them very much because I'm not into sports or cars or video games or whatever." Or they'd say things like, "Well, most guys are douchebags." Or, "I used to have guy friends, but after I got married, my wife made me feel guilty for spending time with them, so I stopped." Or they'd say, a very typical one is they'd say, "Women are more interested in getting to know the real me, and guys just aren't." Every group of adult friends today is just a bunch of people that almost dated, it seems. But all these guys that were in my practice, in my coaching practice, they all grew up playing with other boys their age when they were kids, but then they ended up growing apart from them as they became adults. Not in the relationship sense of growing apart, but rather felt as if they didn't belong in the same categorization as other guys their age. And what happened between childhood and adulthood to cause this? I can think of a few things. First, you got the government-run education system that pushes the fempowerment mandate. The teachers in this education system are often female, so the boys learn early on that it's more important to win a woman's approval than it is to win the approval of their male peers. Second, many of these boys were raised in single-mother households. They were born in an era of no-fault divorce and were often disconnected from their fathers. With just a mother left in the home, the idea that they must do all they can to win the approval of a woman was reinforced here. And other times, if there was a father present, most likely divorced and living away, the mother often had the greater custody. Perhaps she would regularly complain about the failures of their fathers and made it explicit to her son that she was going to raise him to be nothing like his father. Or the boy saw how much his father distressed his mother and decided on his own to be nothing like him. Either way, what the boy learns is to prioritize a woman's bond in favor over a man's. Another thing is that the way that many boys are raised today, they're raised as if they are defective girls. They're taught that their masculine nature is toxic and should be restricted. They're told that they should be more feminine in the sense that they should share their feelings and be vulnerable more often. The boys falsely assume that they are safer doing this with females than with males because they're afraid other guys will make fun of them for having feelings. The blue pill conditioned male believes he's different from other men, even superior to them. Of all the things that the blue pill male is, he's not an asshole in his mind. He's able to say to himself, "Oh, I'm a nice guy. I'm one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet." And I tell you what, you're going to see this, or even feel this in your own experience a lot, is when other guys are living it up, banging all the hot girls and everything, those guys are douchebags. But when you do it, it's all right because you're a good guy. You believe deep down you're a good, good guy. So it's all right for you to do stuff like that. Because these blue-pilled guys, they believe themselves to be exceptionally nice and good character to their core. Captain America Steve Rogers. And it's a pride point for them that they're not like the asshole boyfriends that their female friends complain about, nor the bad fathers that their mothers complained about. They intentionally try not to be like those guys. Also, many guys believe that most other guys are inherently bad or just losers, and they think that all other guys want to do is drink beer, play video games, and watch sports. You know where this perception comes from? It's not from real-world observation, but rather from media depictions. You see, every sitcom and most of those teen comedy movies show young men to be exactly like this. And for the older guys, just about every mature guy on TV is portrayed as a total moron. So who would want to be friends with that? Women find it easier to bond with other members of the same sex because talking about their feelings is their nature. And we see with men, they bond more likely through experiences, not just talking. There's something that Dr. Jeffrey Graif had written about in his book. It's called The Buddy System, Understanding Male Friendships, where he says that male friendships are formed when men are standing shoulder to shoulder, sharing an experience, as opposed to the female bonding that occurs face to face, sharing the feelings. Guys make friends with each other playing sports or playing in music bands or getting work done together. And what that implies is that they must be doing something to bond with others. And this is the same evil premise of the blue pill world that says we're loved only conditionally. The only thing that makes us valuable to others is what we can do for others. That's the whole message of the blue pill. The inferior way of thinking and gravitation to be service-oriented, becoming less so others can become more, is what makes many males unsuccessful in life and unsuccessful with women. So it should be no surprise that also makes them unsuccessful of other males as well. Then when they grow into adulthood, take on more obligations at work and home, men typically have less time to partake in shared activities like sports teams and music bands, and as a result, they get more isolated. And while they don't have time to go out and create experiences, they sure aren't going to substitute it by spending hours on the phone catching up with their bros. See, that's what women would do, but men have no desire to do this. And it has nothing to do with cultural conditioning because they're like this when they're young kids. They did a study once on 2,000 young boys, and they found that of those 2,000 young men, they all believed that talking about their problems was either weird or it was a waste of time. And of course, some people are going to say, well, that's because we raised them in toxic masculine environments to think shit like that. No, dummy. The reason why is because us males are deductive problem solvers. That's inherent in our nature, and we understand that time that we spend moaning about our problems is time that we could have spent easily solving them. Another contributor to the social exclusion of males brought on by the blue pill is the encouragement, and at times insistence, that they make sacrifices. Sometimes such sacrifices that they are encouraged to make is the forsaking of friendships to focus on marital and work-related matters. There are just too many hats for a guy to wear today. He has a job to do, he has a wife to please, children he feels guilty for if he doesn't spend more time with, and then whenever he does get to spend time with his guy friends, they make him the butt of the jokes about him being pussy-whipped and doing whatever wifey poo tells him to do. But the male mind is also much different in the area of communication than it is for female minds, because you see, a male mind may have stronger neural connections in the area of the brain that takes responsibility for making observations and moving to act, but the female brains have greater connection in the neural pathways responsible for interpersonal connection. And this is purely an evolutionary carryover from the hunter-gatherer days, because you see, males had to be better hunters in order to survive out in the wilderness, while women had to be better communicators in order to create greater community of support while their males went on the hunt. But what I think is the greatest hindrance for males in making friends with other guys is that admitting you're lonely feels a lot like admitting you're a loser. So many guys would rather just suffer in silence, just like how they don't seek out help with getting better with women because it's just expected of them to just know how to get women. They should just get it. And admitting that they don't get it makes them targets of ridicule. But there's a unspoken, unwritten law that being a real man is that a real man needs nothing and no one. And they think things like, I can't ask another guy when I need help because they'll think less of me. Or I can't cry in front of other men. They'll tell me to turn in my man card. Or asking another guy to hang out with me feels awkward and they might think I'm gay. All these obstacles stacked up together form the perfect storm to keep men isolated apart from each other. So bonds are never formed, brotherhoods never emerge, with men not coalescing together, with them feeling so isolated and powerless, the fempowerment mandate has all the free space it needs to enforce its will without any resistance. And that's why blue pill conditioning keeps men apart from one another. Even the guys that reject the blue pill still end up in isolation. In many cases, guys that embrace the wisdom that we present, the Red Pill Consortium, intentionally separate themselves from others with a sense of superiority derived from their Red Pill awareness. And I'll tell you, it's an easy trap to fall for. And it really gets on my nerves when I hear these terms alpha male and beta male. I've spoken about this enough here already, but it really gets on my nerves because just that by itself is pitting men against each other. The whole alpha male myth has infested its way through so much of the conglomerate of male knowledge that we have available online, in the Red Pill Consortium in particular, and all it's really done is just pit more males against each other. Like, even the awakened ones are at odds, like Morpheus and Commander Locke in The Matrix Reloaded, battling over what is the right way to resist the machines and their ensuing slavery. So instead of trying to out-white knight each other, like they did back when they were plugged-in blue pill imbeciles, now they try to out-alpha each other in their liberated red pill world. So no matter what we're talking about, no matter what we're doing, whether it's sports or work, making money, cars, or if it's just the understanding of true intergender dynamics, there's still this competitive drive inherent in each male to outdo each other, and that inner drive is what pushes us to separate ourselves from each other. Because you got that trope of the lone wolf badass like Clint Eastwood that we're expected to adhere to. Because the ideal image, it's not uniquely American, but you won't find it in many other cultures. Because some foreign cultures, you'll see, they don't really have a friendship problem like America does. In American culture, an idea is permeated that men don't like relationships. And it's quite ironic because males are more wired for them. You know, boys are more likely to form playground gangs, sports teams, and musical bands. I mean, I was in a band back in high school. I was in a garage band. It's always been like this. So I tell you guys, this is something incredibly important here. Even if you're not a blue pill idiot like Andrew and Akash from The Racist 2, even if you're awakened, there's still going to be this drive that you got to reject. And that's the drive of, oh, I need to out-alpha my fellow man. Because firstly, there's no such thing as a human alpha male. It's pure bro science made up by fools like Vox Day. The proper classification words that we need to be using are dominant and submissive when referring to strong men and weak men, not this stupid alpha and beta shit. Really wish that we would get over it and we would stop using those words, but hey, it's been around for too long, so it'll take a long time to get the consortium out of it. But whether you are a dominant or a submissive male, it's only relevant when the subject being discussed is attracting women, because it's only beneficial for you to be dominant around women, not around other men, unless they're already your subordinates. Yeah, if you're the boss at work, of course you got to be the dominant person there. But to be so domineering around other guys all the time only makes them dislike you. It's like you're the jerk that's constantly trying to one-up people. Like, oh, I'm so great, look at me. Yeah, we all had bosses that were domineering, barking orders like a jerk, flexing their authority needlessly, and just being an all-around authoritative prick. And you likely thought to yourself, what is this guy trying to compensate for? And also, still believing in this alpha male myth further separates you from other guys because you see them all as your competitor. It'll have you going down the loner's path, which will only create unnecessary obstacles for you in life. And I'll tell you what, this is how you know the world is working against males. The world pushes men down this path and praises them for it. You see, in the past, male friendships were the norm. You see, this lone male, lone wolf crap, it's a pretty recent creation. But back in the old days, we would do things together like military service or working on the farm, being shipmates. And there was no shortage of work back then to make guys band together. And this was manual labor, not office work. You were going to bust and sweat your ass off side by side with other men, so you may as well make friends with them because the survival of the tribe depended on it, depended on your cooperation. And as time went on, as history progressed, community took a backseat to independence with, you know, homes in the suburbs and commuters opting for car rides alone instead of buses and trains, and cubicle offices took over the old workspaces where bonding was encouraged. And when we shifted from the industrial age to the digital age, isolation trend began. And, you know, I'm not against this technology here. I'm not saying the technological progress was a bad thing, but it did come with some unintended consequences. But I tell you what, you have the skills to be social and make friends. You just need to relearn them. And to do that, your first step is You need to override your blue pill conditioning. It's in your nature as a man to form alliances. It's in your nature as a man to cooperate with others, make friends with guys. You have those skills deep down. You can relearn those skills, but it all starts with first rejecting the blue pill. Don't be like these two idiots, Andrew and Akash. Don't be like them at all. Instead, what you want to be is the guy that doesn't see other guys as his competitor, but sees them as his brother. Someone that either you can learn something from or someone that you can help. And that is it for us today. I hope this has been helpful. If there is anything that you're struggling with right now in your red pill journey or your reinvention of your life into the new ideal for a male's life on Earth, send me an email at Cairo@reinventideal.com. That's Cairo@reinventideal.com. And I will see if I can make an episode about your question or how I can help you. And please remember that the bull gets blocked right here because I am my brother's keeper and I got your back.
Thank you for listening to Reinvent Ideal with Cairo Copeland, your weekly red pill prescription. See more at reinventideal.com.
Benefit from your breakup. Don't just move on, move up. What if you could make your worst breakup the best thing that ever happened to you? Gone will be the nights you stay up wondering what went wrong. Gone are the countless nights at bars, drinking to your sorrows that refuse to go away. Get ready to flush the agonizing pain down the drain. Instead, acquire the superhuman strength and overpowering self-confidence that reinvents your life, using your breakup as a launch pad to make your life without her better than it ever was with her. Broken hearts hold men back from their best lives. When you can't stop thinking about her or what you could have done differently, whether it was yesterday or 10 years ago, what do you do when you're depressed and no one cares because you're not a chick? Leave behind all confusion, emotional pain, and withdrawals with this book. What you'll discover in this book is how to shed yourself of the self-defeating behaviors, how to expunge yourself of emotional pain, the most powerful tool to take back your life, the most effective thoughts to quicken your recovery, simple yet proven techniques that stop the moping and rumination in their tracks, and a clear roadmap to building a better life that will make her wish she didn't dump you so she could still be part of it. The risk of heartbreak exists even when you're single or in a happy relationship, but the wisdom of this book will make you immune to the pain that risk presents. No woman on earth will ever be able to hold sway over you when you understand this wisdom. Learn to attract new women, build a better life without her, and become more than you ever were before. An end to the pain is just a click away at reinventideal.com/breakup. Get your copy today. Benefit from your breakup. Don't just move on, move up. At reinventideal.com/breakup.